Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty. Put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. He said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost if we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
Welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I am your host, Jeremy Johnson, a.k.a. the Disrespected Trucker. I'm here with my co-host, Chris Bikerson. Chris, how the hell are you this evening?
I'm rowdy as ever tonight. You know what? The bastards ain't killed me yet, so to hell with them.
And we're also here with our producer, Kim, from Canada. Kim, my darling, how are you tonight?
I am doing just wonderful. Thank you. I feel like I've missed so many shows. Well, I've been here for parts of them, but I had to leave. But, yeah, I'm very glad to be back, and I hope you're both doing very well and looking forward to tonight's show.
Well, thank you for joining us. We missed you, and I'm glad that you're back on. And, yeah, here we are. Kim does a fantastic job for us. She's just had a run of bad luck in the last couple of weeks, and understandable. Sometimes she's got to do what she's got to do. It's called life. Before we go to Todd from 10-4 in D.C., I have some sad news about me and about many of the organizers of the People's Convoy. You probably want to turn your volume up on your radio right now, because I told you guys, I promised you that I would tell you the truth, right? So here it is. Last Friday night, I received a phone call from Arkansas, and there was a gentleman on the line, and he said, "You want to ruin me? I'm coming after you. You know who this is." Well, I knew exactly who it was. It was Brian Henson, a.k.a. Brian Von D. All right? And we're going to get more into this later in the show after I go through the interview with Todd. Well, two nights ago, he did a live video, and he claims that myself and many others involved with the People's Convoy are going to be served indictments for kidnapping and false imprisonment. And I am here tonight to tell you as an exclusive that we all have been served indictments for kidnapping and false imprisonment. This is nothing to laugh about. This is very serious. This is federal. And Brian Henson was privy to that information from the FBI. But we did receive our indictments. We are all being charged with kidnapping and false imprisonment of the Keebler Elf. I did reach out to Nabisco, and they refused to comment. But I do have the Keebler Elf coming on live and uncensored later to share his side of the story, even though he's in protective custody. this is how ridiculous this has gotten, okay? Yep, now we're kidnappers and, yeah, all that good stuff. But, hey,
named in this, Jeremy?
No, I don't believe you were.
Oh, okay. So because I kidnapped the Anheuser-Busch Eagle.
Oh, you did? Ah, see,
I did.
People are—they're getting their stories all wrong, dude. Seriously. Hey, let's just move right on. I see somebody they raised their hand right away, and I'm like, you'll have to wait for a second. We got to get on with the show. We'll talk about this later on. By the way, they sent me a message early this morning, and we'll get into this. That I'm a kidnapper, amongst a million other things, and see you tonight on the show. Yeah, okay. We'll see. Anyway, let's get right over to Todd, and I want to bring Todd on. We'll start the show with a little controversy, and then we'll go right into the smooth part of the show and then end it with some more controversy. Todd, from 10-4 on DC, he is one of the co-organizers, and you are on air with the Disrespected Trucker. How you doing tonight, my brother?
I am doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, no, it's our pleasure. Anytime that, somebody wants to stand up and do something, regardless of whether we agree with how they do it, in my mind, we should support them. And I haven't always been the best at that. I can call myself a hypocrite, but it's never too late to change. Let's put it that way. So, with that being said, I'm happy to have you on tonight, and let's just start this off. Why don't you tell us, number one, how did this the 10-4 on DC organization come together? How did this all start?
Well, you have to go back to 2017 with the Big Rig Rendezvous, the Operation Black and Blue, ELD or me, all going out there basically protesting against the ELD mandate, of course. They was running a trucker's bill of rights, part of them was. They had all these big ideas, and they showed up in numbers. I mean, they had really good numbers, and they parked on the streets all over Washington, D.C. That was the beginning. That wasn't the beginning of us, but that's how this got started, because those people grew a relationship. Then you fast forward into 2018, into April, and few guys got together and thought, you know, this ain't over yet, because they kept pushing off the implementation of the ELD. So what do? We have 10-4 on DC in October, 1 year later after the initial group went, for the same reason. And that's why we went. And I went as a participant only. I knew, I think, two people. And I took one of them with me because I didn't want to go alone, you know, because you don't know what you're getting into. You don't know any of these people personally. So it's like,
Did you kidnap them?
Right.
Do what?
And then now, and then you said that was in 2018?
2018.
Yeah. And that is the same year. That is the same year that
we did it in September.
And me and Sean McIntosh and Tony Hayden with the Disrespected Trucker, we weren't able to make it out to 10-4 on DC, but we did a slow roll in South Dakota to the state capitol with 10-4 DC banners on our trucks, if you remember.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I say this thing, it started off as a protest. It really did. There's no sense in lying about it or trying to hide it, because you can't hide it. You can't hide anything.
Right.
So just be honest about everything you've done, and life will go much smoother. You'll get hate. You'll get, you know, flack for it, but that's okay. We're all grown-ups. We can take a little criticism. No big deal. And,
right. No,
and
exactly.
After the 18 event, we decided, as we move forward, we had some people step back. They had some personal issues in their life. And there really wasn't like an organizer group. There was people volunteering to help and all that stuff and put this thing together. And it was a massive group of people, honestly, compared to what we have today. There was more than like we have six right now, six organizers. This was more like 12, 13 people. But you have to do this from scratch to make this happen. So there's a whole lot more to it. Well, USTA,
and you,
which Landis, Marcus, all them were all part of, they were in D.C. all the time. So they kind of took the lead on getting the stuff on the ground taken care of. Brian Brozzi did, got our permits. So we went in permitted legally to voice our concerns. And we did.
Right. You tried to do it the right way, and you're still trying to do it quote-unquote, the right way. I don't know what the right way is at this point, but I certainly respect that you're trying to do something. I do have Sean McIntosh on the phone, and he wants to talk, but I'll get to you in a second here, Sean. Don't take offense that I'm not getting to you right away. I want to get through a few questions with Todd first. So what the whole point of 10-4 on DC for the audience that doesn't have any clue, what is the whole point of 10-4 on DC?
We basically are doing this as it's a public awareness event. That is what our group going into Washington, D.C. are there to do. We're there to talk to the general public and just convey our concerns or how we're alike. Just alike, you know, we're all consumers. You know, we all put our pants on one leg at a time. That we're no different than they are. We want to convey that and make this a personal level to them. And then it takes the big scary trucker out of the equation, or the big scary biker for some people that are on here. You take that out of the equation and you make it on a personal level, and you can get compassion out of people. When you get compassion, you get people listening. So as you're telling them something, they already have a connection with you. So you can give them information and they're like, oh my goodness, is that's really how your job, what the rules are and stuff to your job? And it's like, yeah. They're like, well, that's ridiculous. And that's 90% of our rules. No matter what you tell them, they can't believe what our rules are, what we have to abide by every day, all day long.
The general public is they have no clue, and that's what you guys are aiming to reach is public awareness, and I surely can appreciate that. Let me ask you another question. So you've been involved now for 4 of the 5 years or all 5?
I've been, as far as this event goes, I've been involved with it for 4 of the 5. I've been
four
there for
of
all
five,
of them,
okay.
But I was only involved.
And let me ask you this question. How many of those 4 out of the 5 years that you've gone, have you gone on your own dime and have not relied on private donations to go, that you do this because you care about this industry?
Well, let me get pen and paper out, and I'll try to figure this up. I'm going to have to say it was every year. Every year I spend my money to go out there. I pay for the hotel, the fuel to get there. I drive my truck. I bobtail my truck from South Central Ohio to Fredericksburg, Virginia, to where we meet at the fairgrounds. And then to D.C., buy my hotel in D.C., back in the truck, back to Fredericksburg. We do the barbecue thing, and then I pay for the fuel to come right back home again. I don't haul freight over the road, so.
To your knowledge, does anybody take any kind of a wage or a fund to help pay for them to get out there. That this is strictly a voluntary thing just because of people that care about their industry and want to educate the public. Am I correct in saying that?
100%. That's what everybody does.
Right. And so when I say, or when you guys say, if you want to donate, here's where you can donate. Where do those donations go, and where have they gone?
Okay. What we do when we roll out there, the first year we did this, we were trying to logistics, all this stuff, and they searched for all these fairgrounds and different places to park, all within reason of Washington, D.C. And most of the fairgrounds, it would be like north and east of D.C., we're up in like the $25,000 range to rent it for this time. And it's like, well, we don't have – I mean, this first year. So, I mean, you know, it's hard for people to even want to donate or anything because you don't know anybody in this. So you have no personal connection. So they're like, that's not going to work. And they called this fairgrounds in Fredericksburg, and this guy threw out a number of like $6,500. And it's like, well, we'll figure out how to get $6,500. We got to pay it when we show up, but we'll figure out how to get it. So that's what we did. You know, everybody donated a little bit of money. Some donated more than others, but it was all individuals that showed up into D.C. is who made this, showed up to 10-4 is who made this happen. And doing that, that same weekend when we came back on Saturday from D.C., Berg Regional Food Bank had a barbecue. And they were telling us about this like the 2 weeks before we're going out there, the guy from the fairgrounds. He's like, you know, you can pre-buy tickets and all this stuff. You'll be guaranteed food when you come back. A barbecue. I mean, they're big cooker, the whole nine yards. This is their first annual event. This is your guys' first annual event. And we did. A bunch of us went and bought our tickets for a barbecue because we thought, that's food when we get back. Heck yeah. You know, barbecue. How can you go wrong? So we supported them. But in turn, as we researched them before we get there, we made about, I want to say, 30,000 pound food donation the very first year to the Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank. Yeah. Yeah. Alan Kelly.
So you guys, so your organization, what you're saying, is your organization, any excess goes back to the community.
Yeah. Well, this was just strictly coming in for them. We brought this in purposely 100% all going to the Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank. Everything that came in went to them. Anything, and
you know,
drivers taking things that were outdated or damaged products, loading it on our trailer and bringing it down with them to Fredericksburg and just donating it to the food bank. And you know, people in need were getting this, and everybody thought, this is a great idea. Help
you know,
the
one, thing I want to point out to people is, people that I'm involved with, people that Todd are involved with, our whole group of inner circle people, if you want to call them inner circle, people that we knew or found out or met through trucking advocacy and standing up for the trucking industry, are some of the most kind-hearted people that you'll ever, ever meet. Now, you can see, like me last week, I went off the chain, you know, probably a little bit more than what I should. I don't apologize to the person that I went off on. Brian Hinson, Brian Von D. I'm not going to apologize to him, but I will apologize to my audience for getting a little bit vulgar. But I'm a very passionate and I don't put up with BS. I try not to. But these guys in 10-4 in DC, they're truly there trying to make educate the public. And do they have a little fun with it there? Absolutely. That's what it's about. It's about brotherhood and camaraderie. Why are they not allowed to? I've heard a lot of rumors over the last week or two. And leading up to this actual interview of you're there for the wrong reasons, and there's a lot of controversy from people that have no idea, that happen to be friends of mine too, but they have no idea what you guys are there for. And I'm here to what's the word I'm looking for? I want to reiterate to the public and to everybody that these guys are choosing to do this on their own dime. They're not criticizing you. They're not going after you. They just want to educate the public in their way, and I don't see anything wrong with anybody doing anything the way they feel they want to do it. Now, if you don't want to be involved, nobody's forcing you to be involved. So at the end of the day, just don't say anything about it. Back away from it and let the boys and the women, because there's a lot of women that go too, a lot of popular social media influencers, and that happen to be truckers. I know there's a couple of them there that were there last year. And a lot of the people, like my personal followers, Amanda and Diane, they've been following all of us for the last two, three, four years. They're very supportive in what we do, and they come to a lot of events, and they're going to be at 10-4 in D.C. Great people. So moving on with what you guys, what your vision is, this year, what do you guys have planned? What do you have lined up? Do you have any senators, congressmen? Because I know Andrew Yang came out there 1 year. What do you have lined up for this year?
We basically leave that up to individual participants to reach out, because we want to stay very non-political. We don't want anything political, because us being a 501c3, because we are a nonprofit, because we do donate a lot of things elsewhere, we cannot do political at all and be one-sided. Like, we couldn't go to a Republican senator. We would have to go to a Democrat senator. You know, you have to be so equal in everything you do, so we just don't do any of that. Now, we do reach out to FMCSA.
Let me ask you a question.
And they are coming again.
That's what I was going to ask. So the FMCSA, that is part of the government, so it is kind of political in a way. So when you reach out to the FMCSA, do you just encourage them to come and talk to the truckers that appear so they can air out their grievances with the regulations? Is that the whole reasoning of asking the FMCSA to come?
Oh, we have had so many great conversations. Last year, Joe DeLorenzo, when he came, several people grilled him about things. They've never been before. They've never met anybody that's, you know, from D.C., part of the government. That's our regulatory body. I won't say people don't know how to act. They do. But we're truck drivers, so we're a little crude. Not rude. Not rude at all. Just a little crude. And they ask very, very good point-blank questions, which we have those videos on our Facebook page. You can go scroll through. You'll find Joe DeLorenzo, and you can listen to what – and you can't hear it great, but not like we have him on a microphone, which would be nice, you know, so you can really hear all the interactions. But people asked some very good questions and wanted answers, and Joe more than obliged, even scenarios and everything else. I mean, and he even got to the point where somebody would ask a scenario, and he said, "Now, look, you're just trying to get out in ridiculous left field, trying to ask a silly question that you know I can't answer because there's not an answer to it." So they're just as basically sarcastic as we are right back to us, and it works very well. Bill Mahorney's the guy we have coming this year. I've worked with him several times, been in meetings with him. He's very forthcoming to anything he knows. He will not dance around anything unless he's told he has to and not answer it directly.
And that's
he's very forthcoming.
Bill Mahorney is the guy that Lee and Lisa Schmidt have contact with also, which I believe helped get their grievances published. What do you think? What do you call it when you get it published? Your request published or whatever. I forget what the hell it's called. But he was very instrumental in helping them get that, you know, going. So, I mean, listen, there's guys like me that have gone through this for the last 4 years, and a lot of guys longer than I have, that we haven't gotten our voices heard. We feel like we've been snubbed by the FMCSA. We feel like the DOT has snubbed us, the government snubbed us. But the bottom line is this group of gentlemen and ladies and gentlemen, I should say, are going, and they're continuing the fight in their way. And I have to support that. I have to, because if I didn't, I that's not right of me. Let me just take one caller. I see Sean McIntosh is on here, and I wanted to bring him on, because he was he started with me and Tony and the Disrespected Trucker, moved on with Black Smoke Matters, and now he's just he's a Sean McIntosh's own advocate. So let me bring him on air right now. And Sean, what's going on tonight, my brother?
Oh, same as always, just hanging out in the truck stop parking lot, kind of like a lot lizard.
Right on. What do you want to add to the conversation?
Well, you know, I think everybody ought to go check it out. 10-4 on D.C. is a great event, and going to the nation capital is it's something pretty awesome. if you haven't been, you ought to go. If nothing else, just to see the Capitol and everything around there. But to see all the trucks on the National Mall is a pretty cool deal. And with all that we've been doing over the last year, what better time is it? You know, they've chased us out. They've threatened us with jail and impound to take your truck downtown. What better time to go? You got a permit. Let's go.
Right. You're parked right on the National Mall. I mean, and you guys all convoy in there, right, Todd? Like, you guys convoy in together as a group. And what is the largest turnout you've had at 10-4 in D.C.? What's the largest one you've had?
50 trucks is our largest. We had roughly about 165 people show up. And it seems like it's nothing but we have so many last-minute people. The first year, I think we had a group of like 12 trucks that just could not make their way out. And it's like, you know, we thought we'd easily have 130 to 200 trucks the first year we went. None of this has deterred us from going back. We keep thinking, you know, moving forward, this thing's going to blow up one of these days, and we're going to have so many trucks, this is going to be a logistical nightmare for six people to take care of, because that's all we have for organizers is six people. So what are you going to do if you have 300 trucks and six people, and most of them are in trucks going up as well? It's going to be horrible. And I encourage the horrible feeling of how are we going to do this? I love it. I want it.
So in your opinion, what would it take to get more people involved in showing up to 10-4 on DC? In your opinion, what do you think it's going to take?
I think the simplest thing is that people read way too much into it. And they scare themselves away from it. And I don't know why. We make it so plain and simple exactly what we are doing and why we are doing it. We are trying to build unity inside our industry. And we are going for a public awareness event. It may not be your particular reason, but understand this. If we can grow this group, and then you have another group that, let's say, drives from like California all the way back over to Maryland or something, maybe some group will do that someday. Why wouldn't those people get involved possibly with them people? I mean, you know what I mean? It's just growing a community. And not all
network,
of the community agrees on 100% of everything that you do. But if you can find the common ground, you can have some clicks inside a big movement. Why not? You can have the people standing at the front shouting and shaking their fists, and you can have the people walking around the back to go in the back door and go in for meetings and really get something productive accomplished. Maybe that's the end game. Maybe that's what we're trying to build the community.
Well, trying to unite the trucking industry and build a unity in the trucking industry is like herding cats. You know that. Uh-huh. I know that. Everybody else knows that. The trucking industry you're looking at a group of ladies and gentlemen that are men and women that are very, very, very independent, and they are very, very free thinkers. They think for them, you know, I don't need you to tell me what to do. I manage my day fine every day, you know, those kind of people. What they don't understand is nobody's trying to tell anybody what to do. What they're asking you to do is come to 10-4 on DC, convoy in with them, Bobtail, sit on the National Mall for how many days is it? 3 days? Is that correct, Todd?
We go in on Thursday night, and then we're there Wednesday night, and we're there all day Thursday, all day Friday. We leave out at 10:30 Saturday morning to head back down to Fredericksburg.
Yeah, and you guys are all
– 2.5 days.
You're all together in one group. Yep, one group.
Yep.
And really what it is when you guys get down there, you don't have to – there's no leader there that says, well, you have to say this or you have to say – no. You're going there as an individual. You're just joining a group of like-minded individuals that are there to educate the public on what the American truck driver goes through on a daily basis. Now, if you have quarrels with regulations or any of that, and the FMCSA happens to be there, you get to ask those tough questions to the FMCSA and get your answer. That's the whole point of this.
Absolutely.
And like I said, sometimes senators and congressmen come out and visit with you so they have a better understanding of what's going on in the trucking industry. I've always supported 1041DC, as you guys all know. Like 2018, we did a slow roll in support of 1041DC, got a lot of news coverage for 1041DC in little old Sioux Falls, South Dakota, which was wonderful, and I'll never forget. It was one of the best moments of my life. But what you guys continue to do is called perseverance. And when you feel like, God, I should just give up, you don't. You keep on going regardless of the negativity and the naysayers in the background. You just continue to push forward with your message. And for that, Todd, I have to give you and every one of the organizers and sponsors my utmost respect, because you keep on going forward regardless of the controversy or the drama in the background. So you have my utmost respect, and I really hope that your event is successful. If it's not as successful as you'd like it to be this year, I hope that we can continue to promote it for you guys, and maybe one day I can even make enough money in this industry to come out and enjoy the weekend with you guys. But how can people find you, Todd? Y'all, go ahead.
That's the thing. I mean, you know, we've improved every year on what we offer. Like this year, we have Davidson Trucking and Warehousing out of Bradner, Ohio. They're supplying. They did this last year as well. They're selling coffee and donuts in the morning. We have Trucker Tax Tools is supplying lunch, which will be like Subway type sandwiches, and we'll have drinks and little bags of chips and some lunch. So you're not doing without, and you don't have to leave the mall. Have to leave the mall if you don't choose to. We have something there for you. We have the barbecue at the end, you know, on Saturday. These are all costs, not necessary to us. Those breakfast or the coffee donuts and the lunches are provided by somebody else. The barbecue, we got sponsored last year. We're looking into sponsorship this year. We haven't got anybody necessarily nailed down. We have a group of participants that said they will cover it. So we don't charge anything to register. We don't charge anything to attend. It's all free will donation is how we do it. It's if you choose to donate or you can afford $5, whatever. It doesn't matter. You still come, and we'll find a way to make this whole thing work every time we do. Our registration, everything is all online, and that's at 1041dc.org, which is TENFOURDC.org. Our registration's on there. You have to have your truck info, plate info, a contact point, and Parks Police requires that from us because they want to have a contact point for each truck in case something were to happen, which always sounds scary. But the very first year we had Marty, one of our participants, had batteries catch on fire on the National Mall. So things happen. They just
yeah,
do.
I seen Amanda and Diane. I typed in your website too. For our audience, if you go to our live chat through the internet, you'll see that 1041DC.org is typed in there, so you can go and take a look at their organization and what they're all about. And let me help you guys out with mentioning to any potential sponsors, the disrespected trucker, the loudmouth, insane, crazy guy will not be there to interfere. No, I'm just here. I have contacts all over the trucking industry, all over the country, and everybody knows that. And they all know me as like, man, that guy. You've got to watch out for him because one second he's smiling, he's your best friend, and the next minute he's calling you a mother effer. When I feel cross, I sure do. I'm very honest, but these guys are—they're more diplomatic than I am. They're a lot more calmer than I am, and I urge you all to support their event. If you can't go, and you think there's other ways to do things, that's great. That's wonderful. But at least share it out for those that may be on the fence of going. Show them it's okay to go join. It's not. There's nothing wrong with joining a group of truck drivers that are trying to educate the public on what's happening in the trucking industry. So I urge all of you to do that. So on your social media platforms, do you guys have a Facebook? Do you have a Twitter? Do you have any of that?
We have a Facebook. Again, it's same thing, 104DC spelled out, T-E-N-F-O-U-R-D-C. And then we just started, which is a there's actually two of them floating around in Facebook. We had one last year, a TikTok account. And the guy that took care of that, he's not necessarily actively involved in the organization right now. So we started a secondary one, which is 10_4_DC. There's videos on there, and there's a lot of event stuff. I have some videos of me speaking on there, which I'm a very horrible speaker, which I at least I feel I am. So, you know, we put some stuff on there, hopefully to do some lives here pretty soon. But I got on TikTok. You got to have moderators. You can't do lives. You'll get banned immediately on that platform.
Yeah, yeah. But you can follow along also on the Facebook group, The Disrespected Trucker. Those guys are, most of them are on there, and they share a lot of their videos, a lot of stuff that's going on, especially during the event. And I want you all to know, too, that I will have Todd back on here probably the week before 10-4 on DC, just to refresh everybody's memory about what's happening, what's transpired, what they have planned, all that good stuff. I feel it important that we get the word out there to help these fine folks out in educating the American people about what's going on in the trucking industry here in America. On that note, I want to ask Chris. Chris, did you have anything that you'd like to add to this conversation?
I don't go to D.C. it's not a good idea for me. I you know what? I was up around D.C. not too long ago and accidentally ended up on a road that I shouldn't have been on. I caught the truck limit, weight limit sign a little bit too late. And next thing you knew, I was pulled over, and I was literally pulled over at the entrance to the NSA building. Well, ain't this some shit? And you know what? He let me go with a warning. And I was just so glad that the sweat vans didn't come out. But, yeah, D.C.'s just – it's just not my thing.
Well, that's fair enough. And honestly, there's a lot of people that feel the same way you do, Chris. I went down to D.C. in May of 2020, May of 2020 for May Day, and that's where I met Todd. And there's a lot of us down there, and that was something that I'll never forget either. However, do I want to go down there now? Not at the moment. I really don't. And it's nothing against 10-4 on DC organization. It has everything to do with the government, you know me. So, but no, if you don't like to go to DC, then don't go. But please don't put these people down for trying to stand up for what they believe in. They're just trying to do things their way. And you have to appreciate that. At least they're doing something, you know, whether it's you agree with it or not. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Todd? Is there anything that we missed that I didn't ask you?
A couple small things. Know that part of what we do an auction on Saturday after our barbecue, all that stuff, and after we're having adult time, we do an auction. We raise money. Our money raising, usually we try to raise money for the following year to make our way to D.C. again and go ahead and have it covered. But in that, we will donate usually a pretty decent percentage to a nonprofit organization that helps truckers. The last 2 years, we've done Trucker's Final Mile, and I'm very proud to say that we've donated roughly around $13,000 or $14,000 to Trucker's Final Mile from two events. And
really?
We're talking 100. Last year we had 120 people there all together for the auction total, or just over 100. We didn't have 120. We had just over 100. We raised roughly like $9,000 just to go to Trucker's Final Mile just last year. So we try to do things to give back, you know, something productive out of our event. And that's what our participants are, the greatest people, that they support what we're doing, they understand what we're doing, they are like-minded, and we won't say that all of them are fond of the government. They show up because they believe in what we're trying to do, and they get it, they understand.
And
Facebook page.
Let me just put in there too,
only.
The Truckers Final. One second there. Let me just say this, TruckersFinalMile.org. If any of you don't know who that is, I had him on 3, 4, 5 weeks ago. TruckersFinalMile.org is an organization that brings home deceased truckers and sick truckers, or they reunite them with their families across state lines, and it's a wonderful organization for the trucking industry. And when Todd said that you guys have donated that much money to those based off of your event in on 10-4 in D.C., that is phenomenal. I'm speechless. That's enough money to bring home more than likely about right around 3 to 4 deceased truckers on the road, because it's expensive. So
yes.
good job to you guys, man. Kudos. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah,
go
and
ahead.
This year we're no, you're fine. You're fine. I mean, getting the details in is just as important. I mean, I can say Truckers Final Mile, and if nobody knows what it is, what good does that do if they don't know what it is?
Right.
This year we chose to – we don't want to stay with just one, because there are several groups that help truckers. We did happen to do 2 years of Truckers Final Mile. We raised money for them. This year we're doing St. Christopher's Fund, which could be – sick truckers or disabled truckers that just need a little help paying their bills or whatever is kind of St. Christopher's Fund. You have to go look up stchristophersfund.org. I forget what the website is now, but go look them up to see what their mission statement is. But we try to stick with these things where we can benefit. I mean, it could benefit our participants at some point. You know, nobody knows when you're going to die. I mean, nobody knows when your time is up. So that was Truckers Final Mile. It was a great organization that does a great service. There's a lot of companies out there that utilize his service, even though they don't necessarily openly support him. But he knows how to get it done, so why not just call the man that knows how to get it done? It just makes sense. So, I mean, if you're a company owner and it ever happens to you, you could just reach out to him and just send him the money to get your driver home or your family member home. Even if you wanted to pay out of pocket, it doesn't mean, you know, they rely on donations to make it happen for people that can't afford to get their family member home. They will fund it. He will find a way to get it, to make it happen. St. Christopher's Fund, it helps people that are, you know, off work or whatever and just struggling at a time. So
I've got a few minutes left, and I want to bring on our next caller. He wants to speak his mind. And then we got to wrap it up because I have other guests coming on. So Stephen Myers, we are adding you on, and I'm just going to warn you, if you're too noisy or your background is, I'm going to have to hang up, but I don't want to do that to you. But go ahead, Stephen, you're on the air.
Hi, buddy. You hear me?
What's happening? Yes, sir.
Okay.
What did you want to bring to the conversation?
Just tell everybody that, you know, to these trucking events, especially 10-4 DC, you'll meet people you'll end up having lifelong friends with. And it's people that if you need them, you make a phone call, a whole glob of them will come rushing. I've heard and said and seen in the comments, especially on the TikTok stuff, and people they run off at their mouth and they don't know what they're talking about. They ain't never been to nothing like yet. You know how it is.
Right. It's a brotherhood and sisterhood of truckers.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, you know, well, my first one I ever went to was Miss Arlene's birthday party. And from then on, I met a whole neat, just, you know, even though I had to put up with Todd. But anyway, group of people. That was a joke, Todd. I hope you know that.
Yeah. No. All right, Stephen, I appreciate your phone call.
I forgot what it was. Okay. Go ahead, Lord.
No, I appreciate
apologize.
Your phone
I was on
call.
Last time because I was out of sack, nerve my back, and I was raising. I told you to mute me. I couldn't even get in out of the truck. Last time
I
was on.
Go ahead, all right, man. Thanks for calling in. I'll catch you later. All right, that was Stephen Myers, Preacher Stephen Myers. He's a good dude. But I have to move on with the show. Before we go, I want to reiterate, how do you find 10-4 in D.C.? And I'm going to go ahead and let Todd go ahead and give out all of your plugs, and go, please go ahead and mention your sponsors.
Yeah, our sponsors to our event, we have Davidson Warehousing and Trucking. They are sponsoring our coffee and donuts in the morning on the National Mall. We have Trucker Tax Tools that is doing lunch for us on the National Mall. We have miscellaneous other participants that definitely help us out a ton with our necessities. You can find us on our website, which is 1040dc.org, TENFOURDC.org. Our Facebook page is 1040dc, spelled out TENFOURDC, and that is an event-only page. That's the only post you'll see on there, and that's why our group isn't a huge group, because they get no drama, so people don't seem to want to regulate and congregate to our group because it's not drama-filled. We also have a TikTok, which is 10_4_DC, all spelled out. Check us out. If you have questions, reach out. We'll gladly answer anything to set any rumors aside. Our organizers are on the TikTok page, or they're on our website, all that stuff. You can find who the organizers are. We're just a group of truckers trying to make this happen.
All right, man. Hey, I appreciate you being on here, Todd. And I wish your organization and the event all the best. And I'll be in touch with you and get you on, you know, a week, maybe two or a week or two before the actual event, just to refresh people's memory and maybe some things will transpire. You'll have some new information as far as who's involved and any new participants. So I urge you all to go to 1040dc.org. Sign up if you're willing to go and you can go. Join these. Trust me, these guys are great people. You won't regret it. On that note, Todd, thanks for joining the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show.
Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
All right.
Good night,
Todd.
Have a good one, Chris.
All right, everybody. That was Todd Campbell from 1040dc.org. I strongly encourage you to go check them out. If it's not your cup of tea, then just say, well, yeah, it just doesn't look like I want to join that. That's good. That's okay. You can do that. So on that note, now let's shift gears a little bit. Put it in reverse. Put it in reverse, Terry. We're going to talk about some things a little bit tonight, and it's going to get a little interesting and maybe a little heated, but I'm not going to go off like I did last week. I promise you that. I was upset last week because I'm tired of this guy, Brian Henson, Brian Von D, coming at us for no good reason. He has zero evidence. He has zero proof, zero nothing. He's just a guy that wants his Facebook fame. And he keeps on convincing these followers of his to follow him that, like, he speaks the truth. You know where he gets his information? Monkey Works. You ever heard of Monkey Works on YouTube? Go check him out. Like those airplane little model things that he's got, that's an app that you can download. That's public information. You can track airplanes. That's where he gets all of his information. And as far as the People's Convoy, he is mad. He's upset that he didn't get his name out there. That's because that's exactly what he wanted. So what's he do? He attacks the guy, myself, that was closest to him. And then he attacks two other people. That's all I'm going to say. I don't need to keep on bringing their name up either, because they've gone through enough. Now, listen, Brian, we've been through this, and I know you're listening because you sent me a threatening text message this morning, and that's when my light bulb went off to my audience. That message you sent me, and it's always at 1 or 2 in the morning when you think I'm sleeping, but I was actually up this morning. And you sent me a list of accusations of who I am or what I am or what I've been charged with, and you're a woman beater. That's one of your accusations. Well, number one, I've never hit a woman. I'm not that kind of person. Everybody that knows me knows that. Was I arrested at one time for felony assault? Yes, I was. And I sat 90 days in jail for it. Well, 60 days because of good time. Yes, I was charged for that. It dropped down to a gross misdemeanor after I completed the terms of probation. Here's one thing, the difference between me and you, Brian, is that I will come out and admit my wrongdoing. I've said this a million times. I wasn't always a decent person. I made a lot of bad mistakes when I was younger. And you know what? I've paid for them according to the law. If you think I'm going to sit back and let you drag my name through the mud when you have done nothing and never have done nothing, you're very, very sorely mistaken. I'm not going to let that happen, and I'm not going to let you do that to the other good people that I know. So this morning when you texted me that and threw out all those accusations, Brian, by the way, off of a VPN number, and I suspected that along, you know, 3 months ago when you were still harassing us, I suspected, me and Chris both, that you were using a VPN. What a VPN is a non-traceable computer-generated number. And I figured you went too far. See, you're not just as smart as you think you are. So this morning, when you texted me, you put in there, so you're a kidnapper also. And it's no coincidence that you did a live video 2 nights ago talking about me and two other people were getting indictments for kidnapping and false imprisonment, which is insanity. It's seriously like certifiably insane talk. That's what it is. But here's where it blew your cover. Right after that, you said, "See you on your radio show tomorrow night," which, by the way, it's tonight. But minor details. I started looking back at all of the messages I got, because I got them all saved, from all these different VPN numbers from Portland, Oregon, and Denver, Colorado, like the one that you had last night, Arlington, Washington, D.C., Chicago. And then I started asking some questions with some other people that have received the same messages, and it turns out that some of us have received the same exact message, well, not the same exact message, but a message from the same exact phone number. Well, then I figured you out, Brian. I figured you out based off of an article that I read. Yeah, oh, yeah, I looked this up. And you talked about it on some of your lives, which you have since deleted, about a certain ex-girlfriend that filed an order of protection against you. Now, I told you, Brian, a long time ago, when you keep my name and my friend's name out of your mouth, this all ends. I really don't want to waste my time with you. But since you insist, and that's what gets you hard, is when I mention your name, well, listen, let me just give you a reach around and jerk you off a little bit, Brian. Because now I'm gonna tell you what I found about you. This was, and I told you not to do this, Brian, but you insisted, but here it is. This is off the cabin.net. And by the way, online doesn't go away, Brian. OEM director files protection order. Faulkner County Office of Emergency Management Director Sheila Ballot, I think that's how you pronounce it, Ballot, filed a protection order against a former boyfriend alleging he stalked her and posted lies online in an effort to get her fired from her job. In her court filing, Ballot said Brian Henson, with whom she previously had a dating relationship, has been harassing her through the phone, email, and social media. Huh. Ding, 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 ding. Does that sound familiar, Brian? Social media? Yep, here we go. I told you I'm not messing around. Adding, Henson has been stalking me by showing up at my house and places I go, refusing to leave until I call police or leave myself. She said that on Monday, Henson brought some of her belongings to her home, but refused to leave when asked. She said to home to visit her mother and then to get groceries, only to find him sitting in the parking lot outside the store where she was shopping. She said Henson then followed her home from the store. I told him to leave. He wouldn't, Ballot alleges in the filing. I went into my house. I locked the door, got my phone to call LE, law enforcement, and he left. Additionally, she said he has called her from blocked numbers. Surprise, surprise. Anybody? Does it ring a bell to anybody? It does me. And set up a Facebook account under an alias, Brian Bondi. Why not Brian Henson? Anyway, which he used to harass her and try to get her fired. On February 18th, he got off Facebook under a fictitious account, Walter Rolling, and was posting false information on the Faulkner County Quorum Court live meeting, trying to get me fired from my job, she wrote. The comments have since been deleted from the Facebook live post, and the account appears to have been deactivated as of Thursday. In her filing, Blatt said she is scared of him and the potential of what he is capable of. A phone number listed for Henson was no longer in service, and the log cabin Democrat was unable to find alternative contact information for him as of press time Thursday. Well, I invite the log cabin Democrat to come on the radio show some night. I would love to have you. Listen, I know you're listening, Brian, and the last thing I want to do is go through this smear campaign against each other, but you are really getting to the closest point you have, and I'm just waiting because I know I'm going to hear a live video within the next 48 hours from you, and I'm just waiting to see what it says because I have people waiting for that also that are going to record that. While they watch it on their computer, they're going to record it with their phone. That way, all that evidence is right there. So when I do, and we, I should say, start to decide to file those defamation of character and slander charges against you, it's an open and closed book, my friend. You have one choice at this point, and that choice would be to shut your mouth and focus on the flying planes with a circus monkey or a porch monkey or whatever the hell you're following. That's what your choice is. Otherwise, we move to the legal channels. I had a very long talk with a couple people today, and that's where we're at. So I'm not going to sit here and give you the big FU like I did last week and have an outburst like a madman, because that makes me no better than you. I am going to, however, call out the truth, and that's exactly what I just did. And that, my friends, is the truth. So on that note, Chris, what do you want to add to that? Anything?
You know, Brian and I haven't talked much. We had a conversation a while back, and some things got thrown out there, and I don't know, I really haven't heard from him since then. He definitely seems to have can I say hard on? He definitely seems to have I guess so. You said jerking off, so you know what? Yeah, he definitely seems to have a hard on for you. He's kind of backed off and left alone, you know, whatever. You know how it was when we were first starting to organize the whole People's Convoy thing. It was like pretty much we all knew each other. Like everybody in the group at least had some, if we didn't have the opportunity to have met each other in person, we at least knew of each other through the various trucking groups, you know, through conversations online. And he was like this one guy that I remember we were all like, well, who the hell is this guy, you know? And then he was claiming to be a part of the Canadian convoy and whatever and whatever. I'm not going to get into rehashing, you know, everything. But, you know, people that live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. I mean, that saying is there for a reason. That's the boomer in me, you know. I know how much the millennials tend to hate us boomers for speaking from our wisdom, from our experiences, rather than what the TV told us. But, yeah, you know, damn it, Brian. Jeremy's invited you to be on this show. I've invited you to be on this show. You know, you keep casting stones, and, you know, you're not that clean yourself, so... and in fact, you're apparently, you know, worse than Finger at. So whatever, you know, that's about all I got on that.
Yeah. Me and Chris have given you numerous opportunities to come on, call into the show. We'll have a conversation and you don't. And that shows you exactly who you are, Brian. Now, listen, I want to mention one more thing before we move on to Ross Justice here, because Ross has got a lot of important information I want to get to. When you get on a live video and you tell people that you and your team are getting into two motorhomes and you're going to go to Pennsylvania and Ohio to personally watch them hand out indictments to the People's Convoy participants or organizers, and you're what gets me is that you have followers that actually believe that the FBI, that you're so important that the FBI would give you that information and invite you along in RVs, your quote-unquote team, which I suspect to be, I don't know, probably some of your Paul Blart, Mall Cop types. I don't know. I don't know what you guys, what kind of fantasy you're living in. But the FBI doesn't give out information that to civilians. If
right.
you think you're that important, I'm telling you, dude, you're living a fantasy. Just stop.
There's one possibility.
Go ahead.
There's one possibility that is the only way he would have that knowledge, not being a federal agent himself, would be if he was a federal asset and he was working as an informant, then he would have knowledge of that. So I know I've flat out asked him before if he was a Fed or an informant for the Fed, which of course he blatantly denied. But if that's the case, then obviously he's working as agent provocateur, and that would be the only way. So, Brian, if you really want to keep up this whole thing that you know that these federal agents are going to go out and hand out indictments, and you know that as a random dickhead citizen of the state of Arkansas, then just go ahead and tell everybody you're a snitching-ass federal informant.
There. Amen. The bottom line is you keep up with this, and it just – that's fine. And I will find more and more on you, and I will expose you more and more. I don't need to yell and scream. I don't need to get upset at you. But putting out people's personal phone numbers and personal addresses, that's a low-down, dirty, dog shit thing to do to anybody. I don't care if it's your worst enemy. You're instigating people getting hurt by people that are not well. And I am very strongly starting to lean on the fact that you are not well. And I don't wish you any ill will, but I hope that you find the help that you need. Because coming at us, as long as you have and as cruel as you have, there's something not right. That it's just not right, and you know it. On that note, I'm not going to waste any more time with it. And if you bring up my name again or any of my friends' names, dude, without any evidence to back up your claims, you best believe that you're going to get a special 15 minutes dedicated to you. So I highly suggest that you watch what comes out of your mouth. If you want to find a new controversy to go after, I highly suggest you do that too. We might be what, quote-unquote, what the general public says, dumb truck drivers, but trust us, we're not as dumb as you think we are. So go ahead and keep on sending me those VPN threats. I save every one of them, even though I know they can't be traced. That just adds fuel to the fire, and it adds to my legal case against you when it comes down to that, because I've got a pretty good arsenal behind me right now. This is not meant as a threat. I'm asking you, fellow human being, to stop your bullshit. Now, have a great night. You can quit listening now. Your name probably won't come up. Well, it might. You might want to keep on listening. Anyway, Ross Justice is on here. Ross has got some information about the People's Convoy. Not the usual suspects, by the way. Not the ones that the Brian Von D's of the world are claiming did wrongdoing. Maybe a little bit. I don't think there's much there, but he was on last week with Mike Landis and Marcus Summers. But tonight I wanted to let him get on, and I'm going to bring him on right now to let him speak with some of the stuff that he's researched. And Ross, you are on the air live. Ross, how you doing tonight, my friend?
Good, Jeremy. Thanks for having me. Chris, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I want to get right into something. Okay, we were talking, and by the way, I'm letting Ross go ahead and speak freely. It's his opinion. It's some are facts, based off of what he's found. And I am just going to ask him what he knows about the people that he knows. It doesn't necessarily reflect the opinion of the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I got to put that out there for legality reasons. But Ross, I want to start off with, we were talking last week about human rights attorney Lee Dundas. What have you found out that the general public doesn't know about Lee Dundas, and how was she involved in the People's Convoy?
From what everyone's telling me, I've been able to connect a lot of dots. Over the past couple of weeks, when it came to the convoy, when I got to Hagerstown, you know, I made a big deal, really, you know, about the buses and the, you know, didn't look like, you know, the TPC organizers were the ones that were actually in charge of everything. So I started questioning everybody else that was involved, including Lee Dundas. And you look into her, and, you know, she's at the front of every, you know, humanitarian, you know, advocacy group. She's always, you know, she's always involved with something. She always tries to get, like, a leadership role and basically, you know, hijack it and take it over is what it's looking like to us. And then you look a little further into her, and, you know, there's all these conspiracies about her being a Scientologist. And you can actually go on to there's a Scientology database where if somebody completes a course in Scientology, they publicize it into one of their magazines. And so I found this database, and I started running people's names through it, and I ran Lee Dundas through it. And it turns out she's been in Scientology for over 20 years from the first date of her completion. And she's a level 7 Scientologist, which means you eat, breathe, and sleep Scientology. Everything you do is for the church. And more than likely,
and
that level,
when
she could be getting orders from...
When is the last year that she was involved with Scientology, do you know of? Or is she still a Scientologist?
I don't have that pulled up in front of me. She, there's nothing saying she excommunicated herself from it. I want to say the last completion was just a few years ago. I can tell you in just a second.
Because and the reason I ask you that, Ross, is because when I did a slow roll up to Pembina, North Dakota, I reached out to, they were doing similar protests at the border for Canada when Ottawa was happening. And I explained this last week, but I'll just rehash it while you're looking up that information. When I reached out to her, I got in touch with her assistant Marine, and Marine's a sweetheart of a woman. And I talked to Lee Dundas on the phone, and I thought Lee was a fantastic person. When I talked to her on the phone, she was nice to me. She never gave me any reason to suspect her of anything. Now I went and looked and researched some of her things that she's done. And she has done some amazing things for human rights. If you look her name up, it's LeighDundas. She was at a Senate hearing with Ron Johnson. She fought against the mandates. I mean, she's done some amazing things. Now, by me saying that, I'm certainly not sticking up for her. I'm just saying, from my point of view, what I came across. And which is why I was instrumental on bringing her on board with the People's Convoy in the very beginning. So, well, yeah. Did you find out when the last year she was, Ross?
Last year she completed a course was 2014.
2013, okay. So,
14.
Now, and I'm not trying to discredit Ross with his research. But I do want the audience to think and just think about this. She could very well be present day Scientology. That there's no doubt about it. She was level seven. I would say more than likely she probably still is. However, she does have the ability to, yeah, like you said, excommunicate herself from it. So anyway, go ahead, Ross. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you. There'd be a track record, which we haven't found anything of Scientology coming out and basically trashing her for leaving the community of Scientology. You know, whenever somebody, you know, excommunicates themselves from Scientology, there's usually a trail of you know, hit pieces and articles about them, and, you know, they make up all kinds of stuff to try to make them look bad. There's nothing like that with Lee Dundas coming from Scientology.
Right. What are some of the things? I'm sorry. What are some of the things that you found out about Lee Dundas through the process of your investigation?
as far as different deal, like different things that she's been doing, you know.
Like any,
Fraud? I know she was involved in some fraud. That's why I was going to have Anjanette come on, because Anjanette knows a little bit more about the fraud that she was involved in. Did she call in yet?
Yeah, she is. She's actually on. Do you want me to bring her on?
Yeah, please.
Okay, yep. Anjanette, I'm going to bring you on live on air right now. Just give it a second. And I'll let you know, you are on air, Anjanette. Welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I'm glad to have you on. How are you tonight?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thank you for being here. And so you've been listening in on the conversation. What would you like to add in what Ross has been saying and about the investigating into who Attorney Lee Dundas is?
Sure. So we started working on this back in February, early March, pretty much within a week to 10 days after Ross had secured the Speedway in Hagerstown and TPC, or I call it TPC, the People's Convoy, had arrived. It took a very short time while he was there to figure out the checks and balances weren't there, and he was contacting us as part of his team. He has an administrative team that we all, you know, support Ross 100%. We've been doing this research and helping him out to figure these things out. We just went into this like everyone else did, hoping for, you know, this amazing outcome of, you know, getting our country back. And it really has turned into this bit of a shocker, to say the least. When we figure out kind of some things that are going on, of course, we don't have all the answers. This has taken months. We all have full-time jobs, and I work with children with autism, and it's an amazing career, and I've had to sacrifice so much time to look into this stuff, and so has our team. So we've put a lot into this. And unfortunately, I wish we all had, you know, this was our full-time job, because we could uncover so much more quickly. But, I was up until 5 o'clock this morning yesterday. Well, this morning, I guess, if you will, slept a couple hours and went on to work, because I was continuing just digging. And it takes so much time, because they have so many layers between the top and what we experience here as, if you will, as civilians or lay people of the U.S., they put so many layers between the elites and us that it's nearly impossible to shovel out the layers to get, you know, peel the layers of that onion back, if you will, to get to the center. So it's been a process. But one of the things that we looked at, I think what triggered the whole thing, just a really quick history here, that what triggered the whole thing was we got word of the Freight Waves article that came out, where they had announced that the People's Convoy had brought on Christopher Marston, Lee Dundas. Well, actually, it started with Lee Dundas, who I have confirmed that she was a part of some part of the organizational team of the Canadian convoy. I am waiting to get my data, if you will, my documentation, my support, that she was instrumental in coordinating the fundraising that went awry with that one too, with regard to controlled opposition. I'm not going to speak too much to that, because I'm a person where I'm not going to just say things if I don't have data to back that up. But
so what you're saying is that you suspect her of being that. You don't have the hardcore evidence to back that
up.
Well, we know
she was a part of the organizational team for Canada. What I'm waiting to get, so that I can have proof, if you will, because I don't know this yet, but my because of what happened here and the fact that she was involved with the organization of the Canadian truckers movement there to Ottawa, I am a scientist. I'm in the field of science and data analysis, so that's where my brain goes all the time, and I know the how science works. So here's what we know. So we found out that she was and I'll announce the names of people once I have everything together. Found out she was on the organizational team, and she was a part of organizing the Canadian Truckers Movement. I'm waiting to get the documentation to confirm or rule out whether or not she had a connection to whoever started the nonprofit fundraising for the Canadian Truckers Convoy. Because if you all remember, that started with a GoFundMe page that raised about $10 million that the Canadian government, i.e. Trudeau,
And then she did have Freedom Fighter Nation was taking donations during the conflict.
Yeah, FreedomFighterNation.org.
Yeah.
Correct,
so I'm not sure about how much in donations she accepted for that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so the people that she brought involved, you know, that she is involved with, Christopher Marston really leads to more fraudulent people, more frauds, more con artists, if you will.
Here's what we do know, and it was published in that Freight Waves article, was that Lee Dundas does know of Christopher Marston. He is also an attorney. We don't know how they ever met or how they knew each other. We have presumed it was because they were attorneys. So what was openly admitted in that article and through an interview from her that was published online was that she contacted Marston because we didn't know this at the time, and I literally, till 5 o'clock this morning, this was one of the big puzzle pieces I found out just last night while I was up researching, which is I think why Ross kind of wanted me to bring me on tonight. What we didn't know back then, it took us months to get to peel the layers of this onion back to get to this point, but she had asked Marston to come on and develop the nonprofit agency, if you will, or entity, if you will, that would have been required or that was required for people to be able to make donations to TPC, the People's Convoy. So Marston at that point had got the business, mind you, this was before what everyone knows of January 2022. What people don't realize is this was being organized months before it actually happened. They had this all organized. This all started in the fall of 2021. The plan to run and spur these and spur on these convoys between Canada and U.S. This was all in the making the fall of 2021. So Lee had gotten in contact with Christopher Marston and said, who's also an attorney, he's out of New England. He has several businesses that registered businesses in that New England, basically the Massachusetts area. They're ghost companies. We've only confirmed that there's one employee that was ever identified as physically being in an office. But we can get to that in a little bit.
Yeah,
but anyway,
the Exemplar Company is incorporated.
The Exemplar law firm. Yeah, Exemplar Court Incorporation. But we'll get to that in a minute. That's the crux of where this is all going, to be honest. But anyway, dial this back a second. Got in touch with Marston, said, Marston, we need a nonprofit. Set this up, you know, and what we didn't know then, we're like, well, how did she know Marston? Like, why him? Of all the people, like, you can throw a dart against the wall, it's going to hit something. Why did it hit him? What's the connection? So I've been spending months trying to figure out what was it about Marston? Why did she call this guy and ask for him to set up the nonprofit, the AFCLF, which everyone calls AFLEC? I actually coined that phrase because I had trouble remembering the acronym for this nonprofit company. So I was calling it AFLEC because it's the AFCLF. And then I finally ascribed it to KFC, like AFC, but KFC. So that's how I remember it. It's AFCLF. It's like KFCLF, but A. So that's how my mind has memorized it. So it was AFCLF or AFLAC or the KFCF. You know, that's how I've learned to memorize it, because this has been in my crosshairs now for months. So the AFCLF, Christopher Marston started that at the end of 2021. That's when the nonprofit got started, literally a couple of months prior to the People's Convoy getting organized and started, as well as Canada, too. Again, like I said,
Dundas is making videos on YouTube also months prior.
Correct. And again, I'm still waiting to get hard documentation that she contacted, and quite frankly, it very well could still be Christopher Marston, under the name of another company. See, the American, the AFCLF, is the one he established for the People's Convoy in America. Somebody, some company, some nonprofit company was set up to accept the Canadian donations through GoFundMe. And we know that Lee was on the organizational team for that Canadian convoy. So this falls under the scientific assumption of empiricism, right? So what we know about that is if A equals B and B equals C, then A also equals C, right?
Right.
So let me just slow you down here for a second.
By the way, we have like a 1 or 2 second delay. It's not like we're talking on the phone and I can just say, hey, can I say something? It cuts in when you're about halfway through your next sentence, but that sucks. But I want to slow it down. You're going a mile a minute, and I'm not trying to criticize you, but try to take all this in. like my brain is
running.
I'm going to ask. Yeah. So from now on, slow down what you're saying, because it's so much information to take in. Like, there's no possible way guys like me that have 3 brain cells in their head can comprehend what is going on.
Sure.
I appreciate all the information. I think you guys have done your due diligence. There's no doubt about it. The one thing I wanted to ask is, because I know you guys said Christopher Martin's was in Scientology also. And my question,
same question I did with
Lee Dundas is, oh, you don't know that?
Christopher Martin's is not tied to Scientology. He's tied to an organization that mirrors Scientology.
Right. He's not listed as a Scientology practitioner. Lee Dundas is. Christopher Marston is not. But there's the other, that we've been looking at. There's an umbrella of globalist spirituality, if you will, or globalist, the West and Scientology and the West vision of what global spirituality or global religion should look like is mirror image of Scientology's principles and this spiritual center that Ross knows more about that, but Marston's tied to that. So it's just interesting, you know what I mean? That they're all so connected, but they're all under these different names, so people can't readily put them into.
Let me stop you again. So what you're saying is that the research that you guys have done, Christopher Marston's, Lee Dundas, and numerous other people are intertwined or interconnected. I have to say this, and again, I'm playing the devil's advocate here. I have connections from 4 months ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that I am no longer associated with or involved with. Some of those people probably have connections with things that I would not agree with, which is probably somewhere along the line where I found out about who they were that I didn't want to be involved with them. Would it be fair to say that, Lee Dundas was involved with Scientology as of 2013 at least, and Christopher Marston's is involved in a lot of different other things, and he has a lot of connections. Would it be fair to say that all they are is connections, or do you think it was a conspiracy theory to get that money from Canada and the convoy in D.C. Or was there a political or was this a political attack to try to stop the freedom movement in both countries from succeeding from what is to come?
You know,
I got this one.
Go ahead.
Okay, so there is a good chance, you know, that could be, you know, a possibility, but Christopher Marston's connections are still present as far as the companies that he's a part of. And then the, you know, it could be more than, it could just be coincidence, or, you know, it could not be that there's been multiple people from Scientology involved, you know, from our group in Florida. We had a level 8 Scientologist involved.
Yeah.
That was a huge headache.
They infiltrated us.
Christopher Marston, I have found multiple people that he's directly connected with through companies that he's co-organizers with and co-founders with that are a link to Scientology or some form of Scientology. And the more you look into it, it's just the more people that are either connected to Scientology or some kind of globalist New Age religion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me ask you.
One second.
I have to touch base on this. When you said that New World religion, now, for those of you that don't know what Scientology is, I'm going to have Ross explain this to you in a second. But I want you to remember the key phrase: New World religion. A lot of you will hear me and Chris, and Chris had to leave early. He's got to get up early. But you'll hear me and Chris talk about the New World Order, the World Economic Forum, and what their plans are by 2030. Do you believe that this all coincides together? Do you think, when you said that, it makes me think, holy shit, they were actually trying to infiltrate all of our groups to stop us from being successful, because that would ruin all of their plans for the New World Order, the World Economic Forum,
exactly,
Agenda 2030.
It.
I think it's a coup for our First Amendment. I think because, you know, it's not only that we're finding these people involved in the right movements, we're finding them involved in the far left movements.
The left.
You know, I'm talking about a guy named Greg Mitchell.
One thing, before you get into that, they've come out and said, the World Economic Forum, that we need to start gaining trust back into our society. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Basically, is they're going to ramp up their propaganda against you. Now, I've read it all into all this. I haven't gone as deep as these, Anjanette and Ross have, but I've gone pretty deep. And what I see is disturbing. And this, I want you to listen to every word that they're saying, and then go back to some of our shows. You don't even have to go back. We'll explain it later. But listen to the words they're telling you, because this, and store it in your filing cabinet in the back of your brain, because this is all going to make sense when we start talking about the World Economic Forum again, and Klaus Schwab and the New World Order and the World Health Organization and all these people. They have infiltrated every single government in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not good people. They are not here for you. They are there for self-preservation. But go ahead, Ross, and what were you going to say?
Well, there's certain things that we look for. We the past couple of months, all we've done is look into the WEF and the elite. You know, we weren't really looking into the convoy anymore because, you know, it was done. Nobody's going to come out and talk. So we started looking into other things. And some of the things that we've been looking for in people is when they talk about the transition. They talk about 2030. They talk about climate change, diversity, religion. When there are, you know, people that are in positions where, you know, they run companies and stuff like that, and they're connected to people that do movements, you know, and you start looking at these people and they're saying the same thing as Klaus Schwab, it starts throwing red flags, you know, and that's the people that Christopher Marston is tied to. The people that he's tied to are all talking about climate change and 2030 and a new global ethic, evolution of a global ethic and a global community around the world. Like that's who Christopher Marston is tied to, and I think he's the main one out of all this. The ringleader, if you want to call him that. And Lee Dundas could more or less be one of his minions that he sends out to to infiltrate and get him working to the company.
Okay, so let me go to Anjanette, because I know she has been wanting to say something. Go ahead, Anjanette.
Well, I want to say I listened to your show when Ross was on the last time, when you had quite a few people there, and Mike Landis was on, and so on. And I listened to that whole show. And one thing that wasn't said is I just need to say this to you and everyone else. Please know that we all know that you all could not have ever understood the depths of where this went when you guys got into this. We didn't. My house, I turned my house into a warehouse. Ross started Florida United Convoy, and we set up our convoy to go across Florida. Like, Ross literally started Florida. And he got us going, and he managed to get admins for several counties around our entire state. I was the Pinellas, Pasco, Manatee. I was basically Suncoast region in the state of Florida, organizer, admin of this area, collecting donations. I forfeited thousands of dollars in my salary from taking days off of work just to drive all over the west coast of Florida, picking up supplies and donations and that people and cards that children made, and to donate to all the truckers and everyone that were willing to go to D.C. and do this for us. I had someone that went to Sam's Club. She went and spent $3,000 and filled her van from top to bottom, left to right, right up to the driver's seat, with supplies. $3,000 she spent on supplies. Everything you can imagine. That from tea kettles to hand warmers to toilet paper to beef jerky, everything you can imagine she spent to buy supplies for everyone that was going up there to Hagerstown to get our country back. People believed in this. They gave up thousands of dollars and thousands of hours of time. I mean, all of us sacrificed to provide everything we could think of to help everybody to get our country back. We believed in it as much as you all did, and we didn't know.
Yeah, would it be fair if I said that? Not only did I or anybody involved in the People's Convoy. Now, when I said the term earlier, talking about another person, and I said, you all think we're dumb truck drivers. In actuality, we're not dumb, but they're a lot smarter than we are. I've said this all along. We have been played by an outside organization
absolutely.
That has a lot more power, a lot more money, and a lot more knowledge than we probably ever will about certain things. However, we're not dumb enough to not be able to finally network and figure out what really happened with the People's Convoy. And I can almost assure you that 99% of the people, the original organizers that were involved in the People's Convoy, had no intention of doing any wrongdoing and did no wrongdoing.
And they didn't know. No, they didn't know. And none of you knew. So I would just like to say, like, I felt bad for you when I listened to the show that you guys did last week when Ross was on, because you have the courage to admit, you know, that you reached out to Lee Dundas and brought her in because you saw, and honestly, like, we all saw it too. Like, we saw the things that Lee was doing that was making difference and stuff. So it appears like she's involved in things that she wants to help, and we saw that too. I mean, even, I don't know if you saw the video that it came out on Rumble, but one of the top military executives was publishing before a court hearing, was publishing newly, I guess if you will, short-term longevity study, if you will, but military data on vaccine efficacy for COVID, and was reporting that 300% and 500% increases in blood clots and heart disease and all kinds of problems. You know, they're basically coming out with what everybody who knows what's really happening knows, right? And so this went on, and he was reporting this these data that were reflecting a lot of the injuries and problems that people were having. And at the end of his report, the attorney sitting next to him, representing him, basically like to make sure that he can report this objective data and this research and not be shut down. And you know a defense attorney does.
Right.
This woman was sitting next to him, and she gets up at the end and she starts speaking about the efficacy of the data of the data that were in the report. And she failed to introduce herself, because I truly believe from watching it, you could see that she was passionate about disseminating the information that she had it to not only support but also punctuate what this military officer was bringing forward.
Right. Now, I watched that same
data.
I watched all
you
that.
You remember
too.
That?
And
okay, right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But
let me
hold on 1 second. I got to interrupt you, because there's something that came out today, and I don't know if you guys are aware of this. And it caught me, seriously caught me off guard. I thought, what the F? I'll say it that way. I did enough F-bombs last week. Here's the headline of the article. Biden called out by frontline workers. Firefighters, nurses, and law enforcement unite to take back their political power in Washington, D.C. today, as of today, calling on Biden to terminate national emergency and all COVID-19 mandates, the same exact thing that we went to D.C. for the People's Convoy.
Right.
And now they have all formed. You see what happened with the People's Convoy, the mess it turned into. And I think what we were the test subjects. We were the, okay, these are raw motion Americans. We've seen all of them standing over the overpasses. These people are tired of what is going on in Washington, D.C. And the doctors, a lot of these doctors that are in this article, from the Gateway Pundit, by the way, Dr. Robert Malone is in this article. I was on a Zoom call with Dr. Robert Malone. I believe that he is in it for the right reasons. Now, he's got a lot
Absolutely.
Of big names standing behind him now. And I tell you what, I don't feel bad for the People's Convoy that I feel bad that it ended the way it did, but we have to look at the big picture. We, all of us, including everybody on a phone here, we came together. There are certain people that were more instrumental than the others. It doesn't matter. We all worked together as a team. They got it off the ground. They went across country. They got to D.C. It lasted for 87 days. Did we get the mandates ended? No. But we brought awareness to what is going on. Now, of course, the left, the far left, they listen to their biased news media. Oh, we just lost Antoinette. Or Anjanette. Yeah, there. Anyway, we listen to their, if she calls back, I don't get her on. Their biased left wing news media telling us that we're terrorists and we are American patriots that believe in this country and believe in this Constitution, including my friend Ross here. And we went there, think we failed. I think what we did was just started the revolution, if you want to call it that. Because when a group of people like this, and now you've got frontline workers, you're back on, by the way, Anjanette.
You've got a group
of frontline workers, firefighters, nurses, and law enforcement. Now, those are the people that we wish we would have had all together when we went to the People's Convoy. However, That was a shit show from the beginning. I mean, it was awesome. There was a lot of unification. It was awesome when we got down there. It was a beautiful thing. Trust me. But it turned into a whole, I don't know, it was a weird thing. I wouldn't say anybody's at fault for that, in my personal opinion right now. But we have to look at the big picture and say, now you got this big group of people, this big organization, and now they're going to go after him. That's pretty intense right there. If you want to look at it this way, we all, not just me or you or any, or Brian Henson Von Deek, Brian, because he was in the beginning of it, we all started this, all of us. We got this coin, and this is where it's coming to. So I'm going to say take credit where a little bit of credit's due and say, you know what, we stood up and we did what we needed to do. Were we successful? Well, we got a bigger group of people to stand up behind us. So now do we reorganize and say, well, we need to stand behind them and not directly be involved? I don't know what's going on in the background there, but I got to mute that. Hold on. Okay. That was her. I just muted her. Maybe it's time that we reorganize with the things and the knowledge that we know and stand up behind these people on a state-to-state level to support them. You know what I'm saying? And let them do let them handle the big people in Washington, D.C., because, honestly, we're out of our league in Washington, D.C. We don't have the people. We don't have the connections in Washington, D.C. that these folks do. So just a question to the audience and a question to you, Ross. What do you think about organizing state to state and starting to stand up behind this movement, this organization?
I'd have to look into them a little bit. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of good people, just like in the convoy, you know, is mostly good people with good intentions. You know, I'd want to look into to see if, you know, anybody's involved that's trying to hijack it or use the movement for the wrong reasons. But, you know, as far as protesting goes for me, you know, I think we can go and protest till we're blue in the face and our politicians aren't going to listen. You know, I think it's time to take things to another level, in my opinion. You know, the next convoy that I'll be – not convoy or movement I'll be a part of be locked and looted. And that's where I'm going to go.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's your opinion. You're entitled to your opinion. I want to bring Ann Jeanette back on. Okay. Hopefully she ain't banging her pots. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. There you are.
Sorry.
No, you're just getting a little loud in the background. That's okay. What do you think about that headline?
Which one is that?
What do you think about that headline of the frontline workers nationwide unite, you know, as a coalition, you know, frontline workers, firefighters, nurses, and law enforcement, they're all uniting.
Yeah, and I wished it would have happened a while ago, but it's good to see that that's happening. I mean, it's important that people stand up for that. I mean, I was forced to quit my job. I work with children with autism. I bill CMS. So I was in a company that had more than 100 employees. So my company was facing the CMS mandate of get vaccinated or weekly tested or lose your job. And I wasn't willing to do either. I mean, I'm an employee, but I bill hourly for my services. And not only was it published publicly, I mean, this is very well known. I'm not saying any propaganda. Everybody knows the CDC's even admitted it. Everybody's admitted it. PCR tests were very unreliable, and they were throwing false positives, false negatives. They were the data for the results for those were all over the place. And because of the CMS mandate and so many people protesting getting vaccinated, rightfully so, they were forced into weekly vaccinations. And my company said that we had to download an app on our phone, Bamboo HR. It's a human resources app that you put on your phone, and you had to register your account. And I had to disclose whether or not I was vaccinated. And then I had to disclose my intent. This was the beginning of January, January 5th of this year. I had to disclose my intent as to whether or not I planned to get vaccinated or not. And I had to fill out that questionnaire, and I had to submit that by January 5th or be fired. So I did the questionnaire and and there was a bubble where I choose not to answer this question, which of course I bubbled in. And then they came out with a company-wide memo that we had until, I think it was February. I still have all the emails. It was like
I think a lot of people have been through that. What I'm interested in, the audience is interested in. Yeah, what is the hard-nosed evidence that you have that there was wrongdoing in the background of the People's Convoy? You know what I'm saying, Ross? You know what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying. I thought we were talking about if we're going to support that movement.
Hold on. I have a limited amount of time. And when we go on in like 50 minutes explanations of things, all it does is kill my time. And honestly, it loses our audience attention, and I don't want to do that. I really want you guys to get right to the point of what have you found that's hardcore, hard-nosed evidence of what you found.
Oh, I'm sorry. You asked me what my thought was on
I'm very direct.
So I didn't know. I'm sorry. Maybe I missed. You are very direct, and you asked a direct question. You asked what I thought about the frontline workers protesting. That was your question. So if you want to know about, I don't know what you want to know. Do you want to know about what I think about the frontline protesters, or what's going on, the corruption behind the convoy? I was just answering your question. What I think is, I think it's time for the frontline workers to stand up and protest. Many people lost their jobs. I mean, a lot of people, including myself, we all lost our jobs. So do you want to know about that, or do you want to know about the convoy? What's the question?
I'm asking you both, what hardcore ironclad evidence do you have that there was any wrongdoing with the People's Convoy involving the background or anybody in the front ground, for that matter, that you have to back up what your claims are?
Going into Christopher Marston, the guy's associated with everybody that Pam Melichek is a fraud. She was in charge of accounting for the Aflac Group. Christopher Marston has a ripoff report where he has been accused of coming up with different fees for his clients, basically to cover every last penny when it comes down to hiring him as, you know, for his services, which goes back into a company that he's associated with, Verisage Institute. That's their goal is to change from hourly billing to value billing, to where they charge every fee they can come up with until they feel like they got their worth out of the work they did for you. Which more than likely is what has happened with the rest of the money, because there was money left over from the convoy, which nobody knows about. There was $140,000 in crypto that was left over, and over $200,000 in the donations that Christopher Marston never turned over to the People's Convoy.
And you have that documentation?
No, I've been told that by people that are trying to figure out what's going on with the money right now.
Okay. No, and I'm not trying to be rude to you guys. I'm not trying to be mean. Again, I have limited time, and I want to get right to the point. I want to know what kind of evidence you have, and can you back that up with documentation?
Just reputations and who these people are associated with. We're still trying to tie Lee Dundas, Christopher Marston, and James Heckman all together, because that association right there, I think I have something that will lead to it. I'm just not going to say it yet because I don't want them to know that I know about the connection, that what connects all of them together.
Sure.
There's James Heckman and the people he's involved with, Christopher Marston, the people he's involved with, and Lee Dundas being involved with these people. It all doesn't add up to anything that's good.
No, and I happen to agree with you. There's something that doesn't add up. But let me just ask Anjanette, do you think it was Brian? Do you think it was Mike? Do you think it was Marcus? Do you think it was some of those main organizers? Or do you really think that a lot of this happened in the background, that the main organizers didn't really understand or don't even really know?
Well, based on, especially what Mike was saying last week when he was on your show, there was still a portion that he wasn't able to finish because there was so much that was revealed last week. But when he got back from Puerto Rico, he got back to California from Puerto Rico, and then at some point, which I haven't gotten the details from Mike Landis on that. Ross knows more about it than I do, but I know that they ended up going to Christopher Marston's house after Puerto Rico. I don't know what the details were of what happened there when they got there. That's for Mike Landis to share, and then we'll know a little bit more about that. But based on what I've heard, I don't think that any of them, like the you guys, like you, Mike, Brian, like I don't think any of you guys really knew who these people were. Nobody did. None of us did. So when you reached out to Lee, you saw, of course, on paper and everywhere that she was doing all these great things for human rights advocates. Of course you reached out to her. She was an asset. Anyone would see that. I mean, anyone would see that. She's done, on paper, beautiful things for her stuff. And a lot of people who are involved in these really bizarre foundations and doing really weird stuff, which we've tied all the way back to the West, always appear on paper like they're doing really good things. So of course you're going to, but that's their job. They're supposed to appear like they're doing really good things for the people. That's how they conquer, divide and conquer
and run
their agenda, you know?
Is there a way to tie these people to the World Economic Forum? That would be my main question.
Angel Investment Network. We found out that Christopher Marston is on the he's part of the Angel Investment Network, who's actually a sponsor for Freedom Fest. That's what Christopher Marston was speaking at in Las Vegas in July.
Yeah, the Angel Investor Network, the CEO of the Angel Investor Network is a guy called Jeff Barnes, and a gentleman named Robert Kramars interviewed him regarding his network and some of the things he were doing. What it turns out to be is this Robert Kramars that interviewed him is actually the executive director of something called Intelliversity. All of this stuff's confusing, I know, but this is what they do. So this is what we're trying to say is they put these layers between the West and these people that connect to you guys, like Dundas and all that. They put the layers between to make it so difficult to take these people and connect them all the way to the top so nobody suspects anything. So this is what we have spent months breaking these layers down. So when this Robert Kramars was interviewing Jeff Barnes, who's the CEO of Angel Investors Network, he was singing Jeff Barnes' praises. He's this great entrepreneur, blah, blah, blah. And they never really say anything. You know, it's always about, oh, we're global entrepreneurs. We're going to this and that. But they never really say much. But they all say the same thing, but doesn't really say anything. It's all code, you know? So anyway, Robert Kramars, who interviewed this Jeff Barnes of Angel Investors Network, is the executive director of Intelliversity, which is actually a project of Angel Investor Network. And the project that he oversaw was called the Brain Body Research Institute that focuses on stroke and Alzheimer research. So when you go to one of the things that we tied back was there's something that's popping off in September here in America, in Las Vegas. It's called the American Freedom Fest in Las Vegas, okay, so or Freedom Fest, if you will. The top investor, the number one investor, the people that have poured money into making this America's Freedom Fest in Las Vegas successful is the Angel Investors Network. They dumped a bunch of money into this to get this thing off the ground in September. It's and they target.
Okay,
patriots.
What
they're targeting patriots?
What date in September do you know?
Yeah, let me just pull that right up for you real quick.
Because here's why I'm asking that. I know at the Minnesota State Capitol on September 10th, Jesse Ventura and the Libertarian, I can't remember what his name is going to be there at the Capitol. I also know on September 10th, 9th, 10th, and 11th in Canada, they are doing a movement. So.
Right. Okay, and right, I hear you.
Are they all connected? That's what I'm asking. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah, there's so much research. You know, like we basically just split it up between us. And, you know, that's why, you know, having Anjanette on here is important because I don't know everything. I go over, you know, we collaborate all of our information and then go back at it again and go down the rabbit hole. But,
you know,
there's just so much that leads all these people back together.
Let me say something about Anjanette. She reminds me of something. She reminds me of me. When you have so much that you have in your head, like, you feel like you have to get it all out in one sentence. And I mean
well,
that respectfully. Because I do the same thing, Angela.
Yeah, no, I actually have it down. Like, because it is.
No,
because
I think you're very knowledgeable. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah,
I mean, I truly believe that you're very knowledgeable.
Yeah, the roads go in so many directions, right? So, like, I have this, like, all written down with, like, arrows and bullets. Like, it's like I have, like, a diagram. Like, I wish I could do, like, some kind of, like, Criminal Minds. They could, like, take a whole room and put posters on my wall with rubber bands leading back to the same thing. I mean, this is really what my notebooks look like because it really is. So, with regard to your question, the America's Freedom Festival is going to take place in Bunnell, Florida, on September 27th through October 1st. And
yeah, but
again,
they might be rescheduling that one. They might
because there's two
different dates for that one right now. There's one in January and there's one for September.
Right. So we did hear that there was a possible reschedule. Yeah, but they have not announced a reschedule as of right now. Those are the dates they're publishing. But we have heard it may be rescheduled. We don't know why, but there's buzz about that. But as of right now, they're formally posting, you know, those dates. So, and again.
Right. And then there's more than just this, you know, one connection to the WEF. You got James Heckman, you know, the guy they met with in Puerto Rico. The Arena Group is 39% owned by B. Riley Financial, whose major shareholder is BlackRock. B. Riley Financial has people on the Arena Group's board, you know, because they're the ones that loaned him all the money.
Gotcha.
So going back to real quick, the American Freedom Festival, they have a whole bunch of investors. I haven't been able to dig into all of the other ones. I started with the top investor listed on their website, which they claim is their most prolific or top investor. That was Angel Investors Network. So I started digging into that. That's when I found Jeff Barnes was the CEO. He is actually one of the keynote speakers at the American Freedom Festival, and there are more than three speaking occasions or speaking time frames throughout this weekend that Jeff Barnes and Christopher Marston are speaking together in conference on behalf of the Angel Investors Network. However, when you go to the Angel Investors Network, you don't readily find Christopher Marston on that page. Jeff Barnes, of course, is publicly the CEO of that page. So when you dig a little bit further, you find that Christopher Marston's company is called Exemplar, LLC. When you start, and Exemplar's been known, when TPC launched at the beginning of this year and Christopher Marston set up the ASCLF as the nonprofit that people are going to donate to send funds to the TPC, at that point, he was owner of Exemplar LLC. It's a law firm out of Massachusetts. He did show satellite locations around one in California, and most of them were all in the New England area. Out of all those, they only had one 800 number that what went to was basically like an answering service. So if you just say you were just a common lay person, was like old school yellow page style, right? Like looking up, how do I get representation for patents, or how do I get representation for investment or whatever? And you just happen to stumble on, you know, exemplar law, blah, 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 New England. So like you would call this 800 number. That's the number that's listed for all their locations, and it pings to an answering service that basically will take messages and quote unquote redirect your call, if you will. There's really nobody registered as employees or staff, like bodies, in any of these locations other than one in Boston. It's a shell little company. It's on the top floor. It's like a, basically like this little random area on the top of this building that holds like legitimate businesses in it. And this guy by the last name of Monticone is an attorney that has a desk there with like a nameplate on a door. So he is one of the board of trustees of the AFCLF. And when the Freight Waves article came out, there was a journalist from Freight Waves that uncovered all of this. So this is how I know this, because the Freight Waves article, the journalist uncovered this about the Exemplar Law, which is Marston's firm, and found this one guy out of all these satellite locations by the last name of Monticone, who also is registered as a board of trustee on the AFCLF. When he was confronted by it, by the journalist, he basically was like, you have the wrong mistaken identity. I don't even know if Todd never heard of this AFCLF. And then
I have to interrupt you. I have to interrupt you again. Let me just stop for a second. I got to slow this down just again. You get into the technical stuff, like, and you speak very fast, and rightfully so. You have so much information. But what you don't understand is the information that you're putting out there so fastly, the audience are like, what the fuck is she talking about? And I don't mean that disrespectful. I'm just saying that is what they're saying. What she's trying to say is this Chris Marstons is the people that he's tied to, and just to slow it down a little bit, these people are tied to multiple organizations, to multiple people, according to what they have researched. Now, the question I want to go back to, I have to go back to this. Now, you guys were talking about the money, the missing money, and you got it from reliable sources. Do we know for a fact that there was, missing money? And if there was for a fact missing money or money left over, did any of the organizers have any involvement in that leftover money or missing money? Do you guys believe?
They're fighting right now to figure out what's going on with it. He's going to fucking kill me.
No, you don't have to show them. I don't want you to say names. All you had to do is say the organizers are okay. We don't need to mention specific names. But what I want to get down to, because this is the million-dollar question. Did Mike and Marcus and Brian steal money? Did they take money? Did Chris and Scott steal money? The answer to that question is, Ross?
My opinion and belief is no. But
Jeanette, do you think, based off of your research, do you think that they stole any money?
There is nothing that we have found, uncovered, researched, or delved into that not only doesn't show that they did, there really isn't smoke there. There really isn't. The one thing I think, and Ross, clarify with me for me, I because this is more on your end, but the only thing that we know directly related, and this was a legitimate situation. This isn't any shady business stuff. But, Ross, I believe the USTA was set up to receive the funds from the AFCLF so that people could get their gas money that the people donated the money for, correct? And that was set up by them, so by the organizers, so they could get the donations.
I can jump in on that one. I can tell you that I talked to Mike personally, and at one point in time, Mike said trying to get money out of these fuckers is like an act of Congress. I can't get the damn money. So that's when they decided we have to put this under a different name so we can get the money so people have gas money. So people that are accusing Mike and Brian and all these people of wrongdoing, we were all in over our head. Just let's get this straight, okay?
Exactly.
But it doesn't matter. What matters is they got these people involved, and after they got them involved, you know, I don't know how long it was through the process, they realized, oh, shit, we still fucked up. Excuse my language. But that's what happened.
You're good.
And when they figured out if I can get that money out of them and put it into our own account where we have access to it so I can make sure that people have – they were trying to help the convoy the whole time. I can assure you that. And these naysayers out there, although they're stealing money, they were not stealing money. They were trying to make sure that the convoy carried on without having to go through a court process to get their rightfully – the convoys rightfully donated money that the American people donated to. Now, I want somebody or everybody to realize something tonight. I had a very long conversation with numerous people today that were a part of the original that were organizers of the People's Convoy. I'm not going to say who they were, but we all agreed, and I said this from the beginning. We are grassroots. That's all we've always been that way. But hindsight is always 20/20. When it got so big and got so crazy and so fast, you add in people that you think have more experience than you that can help you further the movement. And that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened
Absolutely.
When I pushed to get Lee Dundas on.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what happened when Christopher Marston's was put on, because they seen people that, well, let's put it this way. They're more intelligent than we are. Not saying we're dumb, but they're more intelligent than we are. We figured, hey,
who better to put in place? They're not more intelligent. They're really not.
They're more crooked.
They're more crooked. Legit, they're above the law, and we're going to tell you why. So let me just want to say one thing real quick. I think we have two things happening.
I only have
here.
About 10 minutes left, though, just so you know.
Okay. I'm just going to say this real quick because we could always do another show and go into how Marston's tied into, you know, the WEF and all of them. But let me just say this quick, just to clarify, just because of last week and tonight, I think we have two clear things happening. One, we need to make sure that people know that, like you said, this was a grassroots thing for people trying to be like, we got to just piggyback here and stick up for and add some foundation to not only Canada, but then handle whatever repercussions come to America for doing that and then handle our business too. I get that. Like, we all got that. That's what we all got into it for. We were there to support you guys going there, doing what we all thought was going to happen was end these mandates, end these emergency acts. This is what we all sacrificed for to support you guys that put the boots on the ground, if you will. Like, we get that. So that happened, and we get that. Like, we get you guys went into this. Like,
no. Oh, we lost her. I don't know what to say, Anjanette is very passionate. She's very, very obviously very knowledgeable of what's going on.
I mean, we've devoted a lot of time to this.
Yeah, no, and you guys, I appreciate you guys coming on and sharing the information. I'm my mind is spinning right now because Anjanette goes a million miles an hour, and it's hard to take in all the information. And I realize there's a lot of information, but all I can say is thank you for coming on and sharing the things that you have come up with also. I have been talking to some people, and more than likely, Ross, will probably have you back on with those people. When I figure that out,
okay.
I will give you a shout. But if you come across any more new information, please, by all means, get a hold of me, and we'll get it out there. But I think everybody's been vindicated as far as the main organizers. Mike and Brian and Marcus and Chris and Scott and everybody, that they weren't there to steal money, that they were really trying to do the right thing, but there was so much interference in the background that it was almost impossible for them to continue this on any longer than what it did. And unfortunately, the ending of it was that left a really bad taste in a lot of people's mouth. what it did is almost prevented us from doing this ever again, because people lost all trust in it. They trusted in the people that created it, which I was one of them. And I, you know, at one point backed out because I didn't like what I seen going on. And some of the things that happened after that, I still didn't agree with, and I wasn't involved with. And they'll have to explain that, not me. And like I said before, hindsight's always 20/20. So, on that note,
right? No, exactly.
Yeah, Mark, Ross, I appreciate you joining tonight. I gotta wrap up the show and just do a recap of what happened, and we'll talk soon. All right, brother.
Yeah, no, definitely, you know, and mainly I hope everybody gets from this is, you know, the people that were involved behind the scenes and who they're associated with, it all doesn't fit together. Doesn't make any sense why they were helping this movement and why they were a part of it. That's really what our research comes down to, and that there were people that were trying to make money off of this, and they did. You know, 10% was the fee that the Aflac Group took, $180,000 illegally. On top of whatever fees they added on top of that at the end to take the rest of the money.
Ross, how do people find what you and Anjanette are doing? Because Anjanette is very, very knowledgeable. How do they find where you guys are at?
On Justice for America. Well, I'll be putting together a video on everything about Christopher Marston, everything we got in Lee Dundas, every single person. There's a lot of information. You know, I look at a computer screen in front of me. I got 20 different tabs pulled up just for Marston and everything that he's associated with. So I'll put all that out and try to where it makes sense.
Justice for America on YouTube, correct?
Yeah, on YouTube.
Okay, Justice for America on YouTube, everybody. Again, Ross and Anjanette, thank you both for coming on. I appreciate you all very, very much. And you, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy. See you.
All right, see you, brother. All right, everybody. Let's. I'm gonna just wrap this up. I'm gonna do a little recap of what's going on. And back to Anjanette. She has so much information. And I should have maybe talked to her before the show. It's important that you slow down your information so people can soak it in. When you have that much information, she, God love her. I mean, seriously, I have nothing against her. I hope she's not upset with me and felt like I was being rude, but I have a radio show. And when you go that fast, people lose. They're like, I can't follow. And I watch my switchboard just bloop, bloop, bloop. I'm like, shit. I got to slow her down a little bit. I wanted her to keep talking, but awesome lady. She's a man. She impresses me. And Ross Justice, they want for what's best for this country, and a lot of us do. And listen, the bottom line is we got infiltrated and we got taken advantage of from the very beginning. And, you know, when Brian Hinson, Von D, or whatever, changed the name of that group, he was the first guy to change the name of that group. He was the first guy. And I'll give him credit where credit's due. But he doesn't understand what the rest of, including me, everybody, went through to get this off the ground and how many people were involved and then got kicked out or removed or they just quit or they were – it was a shit show in the background. People don't get the organization of this. How crazy it was! Like I can say crazy, and you can't even comprehend it. You have to take my word for it that it was insane, like literally insane. I'm having PTSD over the memory of it. It's ridiculous. But anyway, everybody that was involved and I was involved with, you know, to a certain point where I felt uncomfortable, and then I backed out, and I didn't say nothing about it for a couple of weeks, and then Lisa Schmidt called me and said, you need to come here to see this. I really, truly believe they didn't do anything wrong. for the most part, for 99.9%. Do I have the usual suspect? I do, and I don't need to mention any names. I think there may have been something. I don't know. I can't throw those accusations out because that's unfair to me. So, on that note, that's what it is. So, it would be unfair of me to say anything else. I don't know. Any of you guys want to get on here and speak your mind? I don't know. But that was... I'm just at a loss for words. My mind is going a million miles an hour. Holy Lord Almighty. On a different note, I don't know if there is a different note. No, I don't think there is a different note. Anybody on want to get on and you have any questions or you want to speak your mind, you're more than welcome. But that was a lot of information to take into my mind. It's just... She's got detail, like fine detail. So if you don't think they know what they're talking about, you're fooling yourself. And then the last part, you did hear her say, I don't believe that the main organizers had anything to do with wrongdoing. A lot of this is in the background. It's the people that infiltrated all the groups. And it happened on Facebook. It happened on Twitter. It happened, well, not so much Twitter, but Telegram. Everywhere everybody tried to go, it was infiltrated. And it turned into a three-ring circus. But yet Marcus and Brian and Mike and Chris and Scott and Rebecca, I forgot to mention her name. She deserves to mention. Very instrumental. They managed to get this thing off the ground and make it successful for 87 days, and they deserve our credit, our accolades for that much. So let me just say from the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, thank you to all you guys, men and women, that got this off the ground and executed a plan and tried your best to save America. Now, the next chapter is opened, and you have a group led by Dr. Robert Malone fighting the same fight. Take your bow for what you started, and now let's help everybody else finish it. Thank you all for joining the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show on that note, and thank you, Anjanette and Ross, for joining tonight and sharing your information. You guys are fantastic. You had a great information. And thanks to Todd Campbell and 10-4 in D.C. Go check them out, 10-4dc.org. Check out truckersfinalmile.org also. And we'll see you next week. And who knows? Maybe there will be more controversy, and maybe there won't. I'm going to guess there is going to be. That's my middle name. Have a good night.